Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio.
Well, welcome to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton. Surprise, surprise. I'll be standing in for John Ramos momentarily. He got delayed this morning, but we are excited to be here with you. And with me, as always, my cohort, in the flesh.
In the flesh.
Chris Cat.
Hello, hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, doing good, man. It's good to be here today.
Surprise, surprise, huh?
It's us. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Exactly.
But, on the radio.
But here we are.
Here we are.
The suspense is...
Right, right.
Yes.
So, how was your weekend?
Man, I had a good weekend.
Yeah.
At the same time, I had a busy weekend, but, you know, it was good. It was really good. As a matter of fact, what I would like to talk about...
Not everybody, I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah, not everybody might want to talk about this, but I actually had the opportunity to have your family over. You know, I know you
that's
were.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, you were busy. You know, taking care of some stuff. You know, we missed you having you there. But you know, we talked about several times on the radio about Samson and Frankie, our pugs.
Our pugs, yeah. Yes, which they happen to be brothers.
And they are brothers. They are brothers. And this was the first time we actually had an opportunity to get them together.
Since they were pups.
Right, since they were pups. Right. And so it's probably been about, you know.
Well, I mean, what? They were born in January. So what's this, July? So they're what, 6 months
about,
old?
Yeah, about 6 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it was not quite the experience I expected.
No, it was not. It was not. I heard the gory details.
The gory details.
So tell us what happened.
Yes, man. It was hilarious. It really was.
They were just like long lost. Just, oh my gosh. They just gave each other hugs and kisses and, you know, just like, oh my gosh, how you been?
Right, right. It's so good to see you. You know, like we are, you know.
Right, right.
But that was not the experience. You know, we've talked about many times, you know, with the dogs. Whenever I have anybody come over to the house, anybody new,
yeah,
you know, Frankie just goes ballistic. I mean, yeah. He's all over them.
Like excited type ballistic.
Oh, yeah, you can't calm him down. It's hard to hold him down. You know, right. This little tiny thing you think would be, you know, I'll just hold him.
I can't believe the energy these guys have.
Oh,
God. It's amazing. I thought Holly had energy, and she's a full-grown lab. She's like, you know, 70, 80 pounds.
Right.
When she was a pup, she was just, oh, my gosh, right. Get out of her way. She's calmed down a lot, thank goodness.
Right, right. Right. And so, you know, your wife and your kids come in, they bring Frankie in a crate, you know?
Yeah.
And you hear Samson. You know, you hear him inside the crate, he starts barking, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, this is going to be,
yeah,
you know,
exciting.
Yeah, what's they're fixing to tear the house apart, you know? And so they let him out of the crate, and he runs away.
What? Come on.
Oh,
this
dude.
This is Samson.
Yeah, right, Samson.
The one that chases my... almost 100-pound lab around the house.
Right. That's what,
with
you
their
know,
tail between their legs.
Like I'm saying, this is not
won't
what
leave her alone. I mean, just drives her nuts.
Exactly. You know?
Okay.
And
this is the same dog.
Same dog.
All right.
And he runs away, and Frankie is just chasing him down, boy. I mean, he's just jumping all over him and just like, just lick, 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 you know, and just, I mean, he's just all over him. All
right.
And at one point, Frankie has Samson pinned up against the wall.
Oh, come on.
Samson, I mean, you look at Samson, he's like, I'm not here. I'm not here. His head is just, he's sitting there and his head is pinned up against the wall looking straight up.
All right.
And
leave me alone.
Leave me alone. And it's like, you can't, my eyes are closed. You can't see me. You know, one of those things. And it was hilarious, dude. And,
oh my God.
And this went on for.
I'm mortified. I want you to know this.
Yes.
Well, I'm so disappointed in his reaction.
And it was funny because Tracy was like, Pat told me to get video. He told me to take pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's having to take pictures of video.
Yeah, right. Of him pinned up against the wall. I did see some video of it.
Yeah.
And I saw one where Samson is just flat on his back. Flat on his back now. Yep. Not moved, just paralyzed.
Yes, he was paralyzed.
Leg straight out, arm straight out, just not moving. And you could see Frankie just running around circles around him, jumping up and down and over him, licking him, trying to get him to move, but he just won't do nothing.
He wouldn't move, man. It was funny. At another point, Samson actually had his head buried up underneath my entertainment center.
Awesome. Like, dude, where are you going? He's pretending like he's invisible. No, maybe if I just sit here, nobody will see me. He'll just leave me alone.
Exactly. It's like, I'm playing possum, you know. It was really fun. But, you know, after a time, you know, once we held Frankie still, you know, they were able at that point to try, you know, Samson wasn't, you know, he got a little more
playful,
you know, or what's the word? Tracy used this word, you know. I don't know. Anyway.
Unmortified.
Unmortified. Yeah. It was hilarious, dude. You know, but as long as you held Frankie back, you know, Samson was good. He was okay.
All right.
And, But by the time you know they were starting to wrap up and go, getting ready to leave,
all right?
They actually started to play together a little bit,
all right?
And it was there's you know, these dogs are tongue lickers, you know.
Oh, I know. That's disgusting.
Samson. Speaking of tongues,
right?
Samson has this tongue, dude. That is like
it's like twice the size of his head.
Twice is. It doesn't even fit in his mouth.
Especially when he gets really, really excited and really, really just like, you know how dogs get just pant so hard and you think they're going to fall out.
Right.
It just comes straight out. I mean, it's like, it does this big curl thing.
Yeah, dude. It was like, wow, that is like the longest tongue I've ever seen. And, it was, you know, like I said, you know, by the time the end of the night was winding down, they actually started getting along and started playing together and,
What is this?
Where did this guy come from? What
is this? Now, I'm hearing this on VFN radio about Samson, or is it Sandra and Francis?
Come on, dude.
What happened to this bold Samson? What happened to this? I mean, because the way I hear it, Chris, the way I heard it was, Samson was just tormenting poor Holly. That's what I heard.
The 80-pound dog.
The 80-pound dog.
I'm telling you,
Samson,
you should see this.
Samson was backing her up in the corner, and poor Holly was terrified.
Right, right.
But when Samson went over to see Francis or Frankie? Which one is it?
Frankie.
Okay.
Frankie let him know what was the deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Pat, what?
Like, I don't know. I don't know what Frankie did to him. I don't.
Well, I just send you. I don't know what happened. It's just unbelievable here. But right. My goodness. Well, you know, there is a dog here. I mean, you're talking about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We have a dog that's actually, I don't know, we'll put Samson and Sandra here and Francis here too.
I don't know about Francis.
Well, listen to this. There's a dog right now who broke the world record. You won't guess for what for.
Do tell.
I thought Diesel was impressive. Like,
Diesel?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on.
Yes, please.
don't be dissing my dog. Okay?
Oh.
Okay.
This dog, I think his name is Norman.
Yeah.
Norman.
He broke the record for getting on a scooter.
Getting on a scooter.
A scooter with handlebars.
Uh-huh. An electric scooter.
No. Scooter with like a skateboard contraption.
Like a razor?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And he was pedaling with one foot, one paw, whatever you call it. But I want you to listen to this segment as you listen to it, and we'll make this available for you on the Twitch, but you got to see this.
Norman, scoot. And we took him for a ride, and he didn't get off. He just liked it up there.
Has he gotten better at it? I assume that he does. I mean, does practice make perfect?
It does. In the beginning, we had to wheel him, and then he learned to push with one foot. And just recently, he learned to throw up the other foot and coast down.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
What was your reaction the first time he was pushing with one foot? Because that's
like somebody in a dog suit.
That's what it looks like. Look at the legs on that thing.
Coming out to look at him, thinking, is that dog on the scooter?
Do you get a sense that he...
Oh, good.
Gets pleasure out of doing that? Can you, in effect, see the smile on his face when he's on the scooter?
You can. When he starts going fast, he lifts his head up, and he just looks like he's king of the world. So he does like it.
Wow.
Amazing.
I mean, that is amazing. So the next time you guys are talking about Samson or... Oh, I won't go. We'll leave that one alone. Samson and Francis. I want you to think about this dog.
Frankie.
I want you to teach your dogs to do something like this. I mean, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned because Pat was talking, you know, all of this and...
Talking what?
But Samson was tough and just... Doing Holly, I mean,
he was tough.
I bet you Holly right now.
He has met his match.
He has met his match.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I bet you right now that Holly's like, "Thank you, Lord." That's an answer to prayer. We're just teasing. Listen, on some more serious news, and God's news behind the news, we want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, on what just has happened in the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin case. As most of you probably already know by now, George Zimmerman was actually found not guilty.
Right.
He was found not guilty. This happened Saturday by a jury of six women, which I thought was interesting. Six women on a just jury, just normally like mix it up. And
yeah,
everything.
I thought it'd been more diverse, but
yeah, but apparently both sides. I mean,
they picked them.
That's what they picked.
They picked them.
And you're seeing right now, I mean, it's just a sad, sad situation all the which way around. You have a 17-year-old young man who's dead. Right. I mean, he's dead, 17 years old. And you have a man right now that his whole life is over. He's not really scot-free because he's probably going to live the rest of his life in some sort of fear or torment or, you know, concerned. And one of the biggest things about this case, and there's a lot of things, but one of the biggest things that was revealed in this case was America's heart. You know, when you think back at so many of the injustices that have happened over America's history, and, you know, it's a lot. It was a great majority of them. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do is take things into perspective. Perspective is such a beautiful thing because oftentimes we see things maybe from oftentimes from our own perspective, but it takes work to get outside of our own perspective and just look on the other side because it's different. It's not natural. It's not our normal way of thinking. You know, a lot of our thinking and a lot of our concepts and ideologies are often shaped and formed by our environment, how we grew up, the experiences that we have experienced, the people that we've come in contact with. And so we only kind of know in part. And in order to know somebody else or someone else's journey or experience, we really got to heal them, you know? And that's why part of healing me is hearing me.
Right.
Part of understanding. And we need to have great empathy right now. I mean, this is what the church needs to do. And I think at large, I mean, the church needs to lead the way. But Alveda King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, recently wrote an article about this in Charisma Online, and she quoted Dr. King by saying that we must learn to live together as brothers and sisters or we'll perish as fools. And that's a good word of wisdom, you know, that we need to just get along and get a grip on what's happening, and we must learn to bring this thing together. I mean, when you look at that, at some of the injustices that have been done in the past, you look at, you know, people having concern right now because someone's dead. You know, someone's dead. And the jury, I mean, due process was involved, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second. But when you look at an athlete who goes to jail for putting dogs in harm's way, you know, they're balancing all this stuff out and saying, wait, you're trying to look for some sort of, you know, resolution in all this. And we saw a few things in this case. We saw that how, you know, race was, they made a big part of it. Politics, of course, got into it. But we saw another thing occur. We saw the Constitution at play. We saw the Bill of Rights, which you talked about last week. It's amazing.
It was amazing.
You know, you saw the First Amendment. You saw the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms, the right to a speedy trial, the Fifth Amendment, right?
Right, right to remain silent.
The right, you know, not to...
Incriminate yourself.
Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. I mean, just you go on and you see this whole judicial process that took place. I mean, you have the opportunity to be judged not in the public media. You say, thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
But you have the right to be judged by a jury of your peers. A jury of your peers. Think about it, the whole thing. the whole defense and the whole prosecution and the judge, they all got together so that six people, that whole thing went on for however long it went on, just so that they can have, so they can hear it out and make a decision. Mm-hmm. You have the Sixth Amendment, the right to a trial.
Yeah.
So you look at all this, and we need to pull away from
a
this.
A speedy trial.
Speedy trial, yeah, exactly, because yeah. this went pretty quick.
Back in the day, they just drug it on.
If you had a court case.
If you even got one.
If you got one. And so, although you see, you know, we really don't know what all occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And all we can do right now is just really empathize. Mm-hmm. You know, you have parents right now that are hurting, and you have a man who went through a long process, who was judged before even any of the facts actually came on out. And you have people that are hurt and divided on many ways. But what we can do is really get some perspective. I mean, this really just revealed some things that happened that's been happening in our country for a while. It's just exposed it and got everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, for our takeaway, is really to have perspective. I mean, you look at it, that Sunday morning is the most segregated hours mm-hmm. of any given day
yep.
throughout the week. And we gotta get this. We gotta get this. We have to have a proper expectation. We gotta be able to empathize with others.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get outside of ourselves. And we have to look at all sides. And all you can do right now is just give time, because we really don't want to get too much into it, because it's just fresh wound. You know, you rehashing details and get specifics is not going to make anything better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in a situation? Your heart mourns over yeah. the whole process.
Right. Right.
And thank God that we do have a judicial system where mm-hmm. people can have a fair trial.
Right.
I mean, there was evidence was presented. They had a right to defense, a right to prosecute. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was all laid out. Witnesses were brought in, and a decision was rendered by a jury of
by
six.
By a jury, yeah.
By a jury, six people. I mean, that means that all six people had to come to one conclusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at it, we only could look from the outside in. We weren't presented with the evidence. We don't know mm-hmm. all the particulars.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is continue to pray that more situations like this don't happen. I mean, there's a lot of people that are angry, a lot of people that are hurt, a lot of people that are confused. But we can begin the mending process. And hopefully this opens a conversation at large where we can continue to talk about the differences, the injustices, the way we can ask for and repent, you know, and look for healing mm-hmm. as we move forward. And I bet we could pull a whole lot away from all of this for the future.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can you hire or fire on religious practices? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son went to a super center. He told me he was going to put his application in for a job, and that he couldn't work Sundays. Okay. The gentleman told him that he had no position in the store for him to work if he could not work on Sundays.
Well, it depends if it's a bona fide occupational qualification, if there's other reasonable accommodation. And Walmart has been generally very good at these things. So we need to find out the exact specifics of what the opening was. Was it a Sunday-only opening? But generally, under Title VII, they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation. They certainly can't hire or fire based on religious practice. That would be a violation of the rules. But again, Walmart generally very receptive to meeting the religious accommodation needs of its employees. Hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with some of our lawyers here and see if we can get you some help.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God
is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point, but rest assured that, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
So, my friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from a lot of our listeners and viewers and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve and Chris.
Wow.
I'm missing Steve today. Welcome back. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. How's it going?
It's going good. Listen, you know, we just got back from the break, and I want to be able to share with you a new film that's really shaking Darwinism's foundational beliefs to the core. And Ray Comfort, best-selling author and TV co-host and evangelist. Ray Comfort, a lot of people have know Ray Comfort from The Way of the Master, and him and Kirk Cameron have made, I mean, awesome countless videos of just evangelizing, sharing the truth. He wrote an actual compiled an evidence Bible, which is pretty awesome. Has a lot of great, great things. Probably one of the first evangelistic type Bibles kind of compiled, put together. Excellent one. But he's just come out with a new movie. It's called Evolution Versus God, Shaking the Foundations of Faith. And Ray Comfort was quoted in CBN as saying that he believes that this film brings to the forefront The one question scientists don't want to hear: is there observable evidence to support the perspective of Darwinian evolution? I want you to listen to this segment from CBN as Ray Comfort shares more.
And welcome back to Christian World News. Best-selling author and TV co-host Ray Comfort has a new movie out, Evolution Versus God. A supporter of intelligent design, Comfort says the film will disprove Darwinian evolution. According to Christian News Service, one reviewer said the film is, quote, absolutely devastating. If it were a boxing match, the referee would have stopped the interviews with all of those people, including the professors. Take a look.
Imagine visiting some of the world's most prestigious universities, interviewing top evolution atheists, and holding their feet to the fire until it's clear that there is no evidence for Darwinian evolution, that it's not scientific.
We have thousands of examples. Can you give me one? I can give you thousands, just one. To summarize, the observable evidence that you give me for Darwinian evolution is bacteria becoming bacteria.
Still bacteria, there's no change of kinds.
Earlier, I spoke with Ray Comfort about this film and how he confronted the defenders of evolution with arguments for intelligent design. Well, Ray, for the movie, you took a camera to USC and UCLA and say that you now have four very serious scientists on camera who, when their feet were held to the fire, could not provide scientific evidence for Darwinian evolution. Tell us about that.
It's a very bold claim to make, but it's absolutely true. We have an exciting 36 minutes. In the first 16 minutes, you will see evolution unmasked. It is absolutely unscientific. It can't be substantiated. It rests on nothing but blind faith. And that's the exact opposite of what atheists and evolutionists say. They say intelligent design people have got blind faith. They reject science. No, it's the exact opposite. And this movie proves it to be true. We had over 1,000 people download it yesterday, and it really showed us, our website crashed. It really shows us that Christians are seeing the seriousness of the subject, because, you know, when someone believes in evolution, that opens up a wonderful door to every sinful pleasure you can imagine. If there's no God and we're merely primates, then anything goes. Homosexuality goes, lesbianism goes, fornication, adultery, pornography. And that's why this is so embraced by this generation. So we're very excited. In fact, I'm so excited about this movie, I can't sleep at night. Seriously.
All right. Well, another high-profile atheist and scientist, P.Z. Myers, called you a liar. Myers, who appears in the movie, said, quote, Ray Comfort is pushing his new creationist movie with a lie. What's your response to him?
Well, this is just the beginning. You're going to see ad hominems. That is, when you cannot have an argument against your opponent, you take him down, you take his character down, and they're going to have an attack on my character. It's already begun, but I'm ready for it. This is a battle, and I'm just so encouraged that so many atheists are so intimidated when they see just the promo. They are scared silly because they're going to be unmasked. The emperor has no clothes. This exposes evolution for what it is. And another exciting—
You know, this is a great interview by Ray Comfort, and this is a great movie because it just talks about the truth. It just talks about, listen, God created, this is Genesis, when you look at 19% of the church, according to George Barna, is actually reading the Bible, you can imagine a lot of people right now in America are not reading the Bible.
Exactly.
And so they don't know. Right. They don't know. But the creation story, and God created the whole earth, everything, in 7 days.
Right.
Well, 6 days and rested one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all in the book of Genesis. And a lot of people don't know, and they have their confusion, and then they pick a side, and they listen. All truth is God's truth. I remember someone told me that years ago. He says, listen, all truth, all science is God's truth. And just because man stumbles on a piece of God's truth doesn't mean that man's figured something out. They're just coming into a knowledge of what God has already established. Mm. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful movie. I encourage you.
What's the name of it again? It's Evolution Versus God?
That's the name of the movie. The name of the movie.
Right, right.
You can't verse God. God is always the winner of exactly. everything. But that's actually, and the subtitle is called Shaking the Foundations of Faith. Ray Comfort puts out always a good quality thing, and he is a defender of truth. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really excited about seeing it myself. And I encourage you, take a look at it. You can go to probably, we'll relate this link for you on the Torch so you can make sure to see it. But
right.
Ray Comfort, at it again.
Wow.
At it again. You know, he's also did that the connection with Hitler, when we talked to earlier on VFN radio, that exposed what was happening during that time when Hitler kind of co-opted the churches and all that. So he does a lot of these in detail movies and research. Right. And so we're just excited about seeing this. Well, you know, guys, you know how much I enjoy the sport of baseball.
Do you?
Is
that a sport?
It is a very nice sport. Very nice.
Speaking of baseball.
Yes.
I know you're going to kind of derail your thing here.
Oh, you want to do okay.
I heard some interesting stats over the weekend.
Really?
On how boring baseball is.
See?
I'm telling you, man, they actually came up with some stats on how much excitement there's not, basically.
Where's your source?
I don't care about the source. It was just good. It was just good stuff.
This is on the back of an NFL document, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah. I wish I had it in front of me.
Listen.
But it was like, yep, that's exactly what I thought.
Listen.
There was like hours and hours between actual one piece of excitement to the next.
Baseball is one of the most exciting sports that you could actually watch or participate in.
Very, very
it
little
has
action.
Large scheduled games that begins in April all the way to October, Chris. I mean, this is almost a 5-6 month stretch of time.
Mm-hmm. And waste of time.
Boring.
Anyway, what was this? What were you talking about earlier?
Saying something. Yes, I was saying something. Well, you know, the All-Star break is coming up this week. The All-Star
they have stars.
Break. Yes, they do. They do. and they break halfway through the season. To do this little all-star game where the best of the best come out and compete. But, you know, during this time, there's a lot of news that breaks out about baseball and what's happening. And something interesting just came out. You know, when I was a younger teenager, I was and still am a fan of the New York Mets. And one of my favorite players at the time, was Daryl Strawberry.
I remember him.
And my dad took me to one game, which was a big deal at Shea Stadium before they tore down that stadium. And every time Daryl, he was a right fielder, so every time he'd get up, they'd call him Daryl or Strawberry. I mean, it was a big, big, big thing. And he hit a home run, the one game that I went to. He hit a home run that game. Mm. And on his home run, the apple comes up. He was a big home run hitter. And later in his career, he actually went to play for the New York Yankees. But Daryl battled with drugs and alcohol and cocaine and crack. I mean, just had a really bad, bad downward spiral. And you know, as he older, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I really cheered this guy on. I hate to see that he's struggling like this in his life, and it's just, you know, horrible. Mm-hmm. Well, I got some interesting news over the weekend. Not only is Daryl Strawberry no longer on any kind of drugs or alcohol or any of those things, he is a believer.
Oh wow.
But not only is he a Christian, he is an ordained minister.
Get out.
Yes, Daryl Strawberry is an ordained minister now in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, so cool to see things come full circle.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, and he goes on to say, USA Today did the original interview, but now it's been picked up through a lot of multiple resources. This is Christian Post talking about it. And basically, he says he is a now ordained minister leading a wide-ranging ministry, including Christian-based recoveries. And he's quoted in USA Today as saying, "I'm over Strawberry," quote unquote. It was his first basically interview with them since becoming a preacher. And he says, "I'm over the Mets. I'm over the Yankees. I don't want to exist as Daryl Strawberry, the player."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he goes on to say, "People don't understand that that's no longer you. Uh-huh. I'm not a baseball player anymore. That person is dead."
Oh, wow.
And one of his favorite scriptures, and is mine too, is that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away, and behold, all things become mm-hmm. new. It's in 2 Corinthians. And, you know, when you give your life to the Lord, you know, who you used to be and that person, mm-hmm. you know, is dead, is no longer. You become a new creation. And the Word of God, you know, as you give your life to the Lord, there's a transformation, a metamorphosis, if you will, that occurs. You're no longer what you used to be. And God is the one. Because you couldn't save yourself. So you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't really change yourself.
Right.
And God is the one that begins to transform you. He is the one that begins to work sanctification through you. And you become, you change from what you used to be to this whole new person. Your spirit man has been born again. You become alive.
Right.
And your spirit is what connects with God. And it's so important to remember that let that old person be gone with, you know, what how you used to think and world ideologies and concepts and what you thought was correct. It's amazing. I look back at my own life and I look back at who I was prior to getting saved. And I look at that guy. I can't even connect with him. I say, I pity that guy. I say, wow, man, I'm mm-hmm. glad God saved you.
Right.
And you look objectively and just look back at your life and thinking, my goodness, if I stayed on that path, where would I be today? Where would I be today? And I'm thankful for God's saving power, and I'm really excited about what God has done with Daryl Strawberry. Mm-hmm. He has a wife, Tracy, and they both minister at large now in their church, and they do recovery programs. I believe she's a former person that was addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. And it's just so powerful when you have folks that are living testimonies and are saying, listen, I don't want to be associated with that other part of my life anymore. That which brought me fame and all that other stuff was also used in my life because I couldn't handle it to bring me my destruction. I'm okay with just being who God wants me to be. Right. And that's good. I want to encourage you. Anything that was in your life before that brought you to a place that wasn't good, and God's like, you know, it's okay to let that go. It's okay to say, you know what, you know, I am what I am in Christ Jesus and nothing else. And that's enough. Listen, if you have God in your life, that's all that you need.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. And but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, that he's a lover of your soul and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride in this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
That's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
A lot of times, too, that you're asking a believer, a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just got to do this chore, all right?
Two chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's, my sheep know my voice. And that's an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
think about it. I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that it comes with the author, and that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just, you know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like, they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited, because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you? You continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right? Mm-hmm. And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him, and you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's
and,
right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there. iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris.
Good job, buddy.
But you know, I was abiding with God, and I was reading in Romans 2, guys. Mm. Really interesting scripture. This is Paul, who basically, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, is the author of Romans. Mm-hmm. And in Romans 2:28, he says, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. And the Message Bible says something a little interesting. It kind of paraphrases and says it a little different way, but it says, it's the mark of God on your heart that makes you a Jew, not the mark on your skin. And as I was just thinking about that and meditating on that, you know, it's kind of the same thing in terms of being a Christian. I mean, just because someone says that they are a Christian, it doesn't mean that they actually are one. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter really what we say, right?
Exactly.
And so sometimes you got to ask, you know, are you really a Christian? Many people today associate themselves as being Christian. In fact, we say this is a Christian nation, but Gallup poll just did a poll, if you will, and they found that 77% of Americans identify themselves as Christian.
Wow. 77,
Chris. Out of a population of 319 million, that means 245 million Americans profess to say, I am a Christian.
Interesting.
Very interesting, because if that was the case, right, if that was the case, then America wouldn't be in the situation that they're in today.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the truth. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, it's better to have these realistic conversations on the front end, you know what I'm saying, where you can work things out, than on the back end where there is nothing to work out. It's nothing like being deceived and thinking something that, you know, you think in your own heart is right when you've actually been, you know, you're dead wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever experienced it in your life, you're always, you know, when I have experienced it in my life, I'm like, why didn't you tell me? You know what I'm saying? What you know, you want to know. You want to know that if you thought something that you were right and you got the wrong perspective, or it's wrong and you didn't know, or you were blinded by it, whatever the case may be, you just didn't know. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to know beforehand? Because the result of you believing a lie or not knowing the truth is deadly. I mean, it just has so many bad ramifications all over the place. When you think that 77% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, we would have a different America today.
Yeah.
We would have a different America, which really gets you to think about, you know, what is a Christian? You know, what is a Christian? A good related message for you to listen to is America Under Judgment, and we're going to make that related for you on the torch, because you really need to see what is happening in America as you get asked the question. So what makes a Christian? I mean, if 77% of people, Americans today, say they're a Christian, what is a Christian? Well, let's ask a couple questions. I mean, does wearing a Jesus pin on your shirt, does that make you a Christian? Or let's say wearing a t-shirt that says Jesus is Lord, a t-shirt. Does that make you Christian? How about a sticker on your car? A sticker on your car? Maybe a cross around your neck? Anywhere a cross, a religious symbol, means I'm a Christian. Maybe a Bible in your home, or even a Bible in your hand. If you carry a Bible, does that make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian? How about maybe having parents who were Christians, parents who even taught you about Jesus? I mean, they taught you. You learned of him, and you know the Bible stories. And you grew up in a home that parents, they were Christians. Does that make you a Christian? I mean, what makes a Christian? I'm just asking questions, you know.
Good.
Maybe you visit a fellowship on a Sunday. Does that make you a Christian because you visit a fellowship? Does that make you a Christian? How about you sing songs about and to God? Does that make you a Christian? Maybe you have biblical knowledge. I mean, you know scriptures, and you know very familiar with the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you know about Adam and Eve and the 12 tribes of Israel, and you know about kings and David and King Saul, and you know about Gideon, and you know about Noah. I mean, you read the stories. You have biblical knowledge. You know the four Gospels. I mean, does that make you a Christian? Maybe you've been baptized for all to see. There's that one act, just one time, you know, that make you a Christian. Maybe you're singing on a choir. You're helping out, you're serving. Is doing something for God, does that make you a Christian? Because you're working for God? Mm-hmm. I'm just asking a question, because 77% of Americans say that they identify themselves as being a Christian. So we're asking some questions here. Does preaching from the pulpit make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian?
Right.
How about telling everyone that you are a Christian? Is that because you say I am a Christian? Does that make me a Christian because I profess that? Because I say that? That's really important. How about praying? You prayed a prayer once to accept Jesus. Does that make you a Christian?
Right.
Does that make you a Christian? How about you've even seen miracles, signs, and wonders? Does that make you a Christian? You got to ask yourself. I mean, you hear a lot of people say that I'm a Christian. But does that make you a Christian? We're asking some questions. We're investigating. We're going somewhere with this. This casting a demon out, does that make you a Christian? Does that make you a Christian? Seeing things like that happen, and you're looking at today's society and what's happening.
Right.
And you see that people are Christian crosses.
Mm-hmm.
They give credit. I mean, the standing on a stage when you receive an award, and because you say, I just want to thank God right now. I just want to thank God for this award. I want to. He said Jesus once. He said Jesus. He said it. He said it.
Right.
Does that make you a Christian? And the Bible is very, very clear. The Bible doesn't miss words. In Matthew 7, and before we get there, listen, I want to make sure we covered all the bases, you know. I think we got a good list here,
yeah,
to start. I think we got a good grasp, a good list. But Matthew 7 says this: not everyone. That's an important verse of scripture here. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In verse 22, he says, many will say to me on that day, many, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I paraphrase that for you. Then I would tell them English, whatever your language is across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I mean, think about that statement that Jesus is saying plainly. Many, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? I mean, these folks saw demons flee. They performed miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them, play for me. Depart from me. I never knew you. So the question is, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means in the Greek is Christos. It means anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the anointed one. And if we're going to be like Christians, we need to, be Christ-like. When more about what it is. I mean, we have to do an evaluation. It's wise to examine ourselves and to answer the question, are you really a Christian? What is a Christian? And how do we know? Let me tell you something. With 77% of Americans saying that they are a Christian, we would see the fruit of that dramatically different than what we see today.
Mm.
And why not know the truth now? Either way, do an evaluation, examine, because you don't want to find out later that you thought you were something that you were not.
Right.
Listen, it's important what we believe. It's important what we say we are. And it's important what we know about Jesus Christ and our relationship to him.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter now. It's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.